it breaks my heart for me to hear you say that you have nothing to fight for, because I'm out here to tell you that you have something very important to fight for. Angelo, I'm pregnant.
Hello, and welcome to another Sunday morning edition of Collision Catch-Up. My name is Aaron Grant.
I'm sore as fuck. But that's not my name. I am the present Matthew Grant.
Temptation I had to do the dad joke of like, oh, hi, sore as fuck. Sorry.
That's fair. One half of your HWE Tag Team Champions. Incredibly sore after this past weekend. A couple of crossbody shows. But yeah, we're here to talk AEW, All Elite Wrestling, obviously Collision. We had Rampage as well following up. 3 hours of AEW live television last night, as well as, of course, if you're listening this Sunday, April 21st, tonight is AEW Dynasty. Probably one of the biggest pay-per-views on pay-per-view, or on pay-per-view, sure, on paper, we've seen from AEW in a while. Just banger match after banger match, but we'll dive into the match card later for Dynasty, kind of give a rundown on that. But as we already mentioned, we're here to talk about Collision, and as you know the format for the show, we're here to talk about our top three. So without further ado, take it away for your top three, or top, with your but three
with my
week.
Number three.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. My number three was this week our opening match, one of the trios matches that took place on this episode of Collision. That being the one between Eddie Kingston, Mark Briscoe, and Adam Copeland up against Top Flight and Action Andretti.
Wrong.
I know. I was waiting for
literally
you.
Literally, in my notes, it says Cope, Eddie, and Mark versus Top Flight and Throat Goat.
Yeah.
Action Andretti himself.
Very entertaining start to the show. Mm-hmm. I have to say, Top Flight's been growing on me lately.
These guys are really good.
They're really good. And it's not that they ever weren't before. It's just because were very injury prone. And so I think it's lately getting an opportunity to see them at their capacity and see what they are meant to be doing. It's been a lot of fun.
And
it's
been great. I can make all the throat jokes I want. But honestly, Andretti's like a nice third to that group as well. He really fits the style. He fits the like the vibe they're going for. So like I do like the trio of them together. I know Top Flight sometimes subs out like a third, and they have sometimes a different third, but I think Andretti's like the perfect guy to be with them.
I agree.
This was the perfect match to basically set the tone for the trios match that's going to be happening at Dynasty with Cope, Eddie and Mark versus the House of Black. It gave them a chance to show what they're about. Hell, the finish of the match was literally a trio's finish. It was Eddie's back fist into Cope's spear into Mark's froggy bow for the win. So I found that very interesting. I just find that this is a really unique trio, and I like the fact that they're showing the cohesiveness going into the show.
Yeah. And again, it's because this is a very unique trio when it first got announced, the Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe, kind of a group where you're just like, huh, but also, all right, I'm excited.
You also have to take into the fact of like Eddie and Mark just worked a couple of weekends ago for the Ring of Honor World Championship, where Eddie dropped the championship to Mark too. So like
they're clearly on a good level of respect with each other. Like
that is exactly what I was going to get to is like, is that going to play into this at all? Is that going to play into the finish? Maybe where Eddie like finally turns on Mark or something because of the title change.
It could. I don't know if I see that.
That's nothing that's been really played up, so I'm not anticipating it. But
and that's why I kind of lean into more of the respect side of things. If I think they're on like Eddie respects that Mark took the title from him, and he's willing to work with him as clearly seeing him as a worthy competitor since he did lose his title.
I just think that is definitely something to note.
That
is part of the uniqueness of this trio is Kingston was a dominant Triple Crown champion and has lost two of the three championships, one to a member of his team that he's going to be with coming up tonight on Dynasty. So
no, yeah, that's definitely worth noting. Also worth noting, after the match, good show of sportsmanship.
Yep.
All men in the match raising each other's hands, having a good moment with Top Flight and Throat Goat. And sorry.
You caught me off guard there.
And then, you know, out go the lights. Up comes House of Black on the big screen as Buddy Matthew congratulating them, talking about how the House of Black is going to eradicate their dreams, just getting into the intensity of what we should be expecting in tonight's show, that being Dynasty.
Right.
Wrapping things up with things will be familiar for them because hell is where the heart is for Adam Copeland, and him looking visibly uncomfortable. And I don't know, I kind of took that as maybe a little bit of a former look at when he was part of Brood. Like, there was just sort of a...
Well, here's the thing.
A little nod, I feel like.
We haven't seen Christian Cage since Copeland has beat him for the TNT Championship. Is there a chance that maybe he plays a role in this finish as well?
Oh, that's a really good point, because he's not booked on tonight's show.
We haven't seen any of the patriarchy. Christian, Nick Wayne, Killswitch, Mom Wayne, like any of the group has been nowhere to be found over the last couple of weeks. What, it was the 20th of March, over a month ago since we've seen Christian on TV. So that's something to be noted. Maybe that's a very
interesting point. I hadn't even, I don't want to say the phrase, I haven't missed him, but I think like we were all just so excited to see Copeland finally take that title back.
Nigel's been making it a point, angry at him.
Nigel's not going to let us forget, as he is...
always preaching Father of the Year.
Preaching Father of the Year, and understandably so in Nigel's brain, obviously. But either way, yeah, so that was my number three.
Number three, actually, this week takes us backstage. Technically, was it on Collision, but it aired on Collision. It was the backstage promo from the current AEW Women's World Champion, one timeless Toni Storm. And not only is it a promo, but it's in color. She wants the audience to see what Thunder Rosa did to her.
So this is my number two, genuinely. It's no secret. I absolutely love Toni Storm. I love everything that she is doing right now. But this promo is one of the most well-worded promos I think I have ever seen from her.
So we mentioned, obviously, it was at Crossbody last night, so we watched this on tape delay. One of the main things I seen on social media was people raving about this promo, and I was like, well, like, yeah, I know Toni can cut a promo, but like, I think with the character work she's been doing, people are expecting a lot more of the goofiness.
Mm-hmm.
And this just stepped it up to that next level of like, no, like, she can still whoop ass. She can be a goofy character all she wants, but she don't still whoop your ass. And that was the vibe that this promo gave me. She's been kind of not taking her opponents seriously. You know, the Laughing Daffodil.
Lightning Daffodil.
Yeah, Lightning Daffodil line. And like saying that she didn't know Deonna. Like just all these little things with her past opponents. And now it's finally clicking where, like, Rosa made a joke of her, so that was her breaking point, and we're seeing the more serious side of Toni Storm.
And also getting into that detailed kind of history, as with everything Toni Storm has done lately, you kind of forget that she was the interim champion.
Yep.
While Thunder Rosa was away, which upset a lot of people that it was considered interim.
Well, and it did end up getting... put into an actual title reign.
They changed it after, but that doesn't change the fact that it was it was quite a controversy, for lack of a better phrase. But
absolutely was.
She even said, she's like, she made that title everything that Rosa wanted to be but couldn't do.
Yep.
And it is, the amount of actual history behind this title match is kind of insane. Like I said, with everything, the evolution of Toni Storm, mm-hmm. you kind of forget this goes.
You can even go to the evolution of Thunder Rosa. She's not just this like fun, loving, like happy-go-lucky character anymore. She's like super serious as well. When she came back, like she came back with a vengeance, and like she was somebody that didn't think she was going to be able to do this anymore because of how serious her injuries were. So she's coming back with a chip on her shoulder. You got Toni, who's got an absolute chip on her shoulder too. Like, and these girls can go. Like, both of them are fantastic in ring. So I think this potentially has the chance to steal the show.
I would absolutely agree. And
given the time, given the proper match format, I genuinely think we could see this match steal the show.
Yeah. And just as we're wrapping up, I literally wrote this in my phone. It is one of my favorite quotes I've heard, I think, from Toni Storm, which, again, I have many favorite quotes from Toni Storm. But to wrap up her promo, she talks about, "Hell is in my bedroom and I make love to my demons every bloody night." Like, oh, I'm so excited to see the intensity that comes out tonight.
Gonna be a good one. That being your number two, I guess.
I was going to say, you jump straight into your number two.
I'll go right into my number two. It was our main event of the evening. It was FTR and Pac taking on the Elite of Okada and the EVPs, the Young Bucks. Fun match. Super fun match. You built two different matches in one match. Obviously, FTR and the Bucks in the ladder match. You have Okada and Pac for the Continental Crown. Or championship, I guess. The crown was the Triple Crown. Regardless, really well done. Oh, fucking six guys are so good. So good. FTR, just tag team wrestling at its point. FTR and the Bucks. Like, that's another match where they've had matches in the past, but adding the ladder stipulation to it is just a whole different dynamic. And as somebody who's watched several ladder matches that have involved the Young Bucks, as somebody who has watched several big time feel matches, whether it's the Revival, FTR, these teams bring it when it's a big time match. And this is probably one of the biggest tag team matches in AEW history, because the winner of this match is the first three-time tag team champion in the company history as well.
There's just a lot riding on it. And the thing is, with, as you said, both these teams, like, they always are going to put on a memorable ladder match. And we have seen these teams go at it multiple times before, but something about tonight does make it feel different, mm-hmm. which is hard to do when you technically are facing off with the same teams for, I believe, the third time.
Third or fourth time.
But yeah. It does have an additional intensity riding on it for tonight, for sure.
I mean, you have the, obviously, the added of the whole footage and what they tried to add to the storyline with that. But just even the two teams, like, they want to be the very best. And I think tonight solidifies who is the very best team in AEW. So really, really looking forward to that. But getting back to the match itself, I mean, like, fantastic stuff. You had Pac up with his Black Arrow. Or Red Arrow, Black Arrow? I think it's Black Arrow. Used to be Red Arrow in WWE. Regardless. Yeah, Pac up for the finish, and just a super fun match that builds two great matches that are going to be going down on the paper. You talk about bangers, man. Okada and Pac. Holy shit.
Just seeing what they were doing in this match alone was...
And a nice little note, too. Pac's entrance.
I was going to say, you made note of that. I would not have noticed.
Really, really well done, different shot entrance. Both companies, big time companies, WWE and AEW, are trying different camera shots lately. And I really do appreciate the different approach. And this is kind of just another example of it that just, I don't know, like, it just added a different element and presentation to Pac that we didn't really get before. So, small little thing, but It adds to his presentation, so I wanted to make a note of that as well. So
And an additional note that you made, there is quite clearly labeled in AEW what is known as the face tunnel, heel tunnel.
Yes,
and there a lot of storytelling is done through which tunnel a athlete makes their entrance.
Yes,
and you did note that Pac came in through the heel tunnel, whereas his teammates did come in through the face.
Yeah,
tunnel.
I noticed that, and I was like, that is interesting, to say the least.
Just kind of, again, a detail I would not have personally taken in or noticed at all. And I'm incredibly curious to see if there is legitimacy to that little detail, where that detail might pop up down the road. Just could it be an Easter egg? And I'm very excited to see where that comes out.
After the match, the Elite completely jump on Pac, try to get the up on him. Daniel Garcia making the save. Obviously friends with FTR, but really no, like, at least off the top of my head, like actual history with the Bucks or Okada. With a lot of the promotional material and even like the way Garcia's been positioned on the card, it's very clear he's heading up the card. With that said, with him making the save here, it plants the seed in my mind that Pac isn't going to be the one to take the championship off of Okada. And honestly, I don't expect that with Okada having won the championship just over a month ago. With that said, does this plant the seeds for Garcia to move up the card and take the belt off of Okada?
And I think, like, Pac just came back. So as much as he deserves to be in this title shot tonight, I don't think it's the time to pull the trigger on him to necessarily win that title. But Garcia has been built for so long. And, like, a subtle build is the best way I could describe it. Like, he's just been slowly making his way up to where he is. Pretty much anytime he makes an appearance, he becomes the star of the show.
I mean, yeah, he gets some of the biggest reactions of anybody that comes out the curtain. So we talk about, like, tonight, AEW has to pull the fucking trigger on Swerve Strickland. It's getting to a point, maybe not on a, like, a world championship level, but it's getting to a point where you got to pull the fucking trigger, Daniel Garcia.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Whether it's a TNT championship, whether it's a Continental championship, you got to give him a singles title. It's his time.
It's his time, absolutely.
Yeah, with that said, that was my number two for this week. Number one, I believe probably the same for both of us.
I would kind of imagine it's the same. Number one being the bunkhouse brawl between BCC, Claudio Castagnoli, and Brian Danielson up against Kyle Fletcher and Konosuke Takeshita.
So, first off, Brian Danielson is a friggin' maniac.
And he talked about this too.
The run he is having right now, I feel like we're just like broken records at this point, because like every week it feels like Brian's just having banger after banger after banger and like really going out with the absolute best possible matches he can for his full-time wrestling career. This just being another example. Fuck, 24 hours before he's supposed to wrestle Will Ospreay, a match that literally is being billed as potentially one of the most anticipated matches of the year, we have Brian wrestling a fucking bunkhouse brawl against Fletcher and Takeshita. Like, and he did not half-ass it either.
Oh, no, he came to fight. Like, the intensity he came in with.
All four guys, man, brought it.
Absolutely. Just, like, what can you say? This was a fantastic match. There was action figures involved. There were chains. Just, it was so good. Yeah. And like,
all over the place, too.
All over the place. And that's why I'm having a hard time just summing up where to even go.
So I think the biggest note I want to take away from this match is to really put over Kyle Fletcher. Takeshita's been really put up on that pedestal lately. Having matches with Omega, having matches with Ospreay, having, you know, these big time matches where he's been elevated to that upper echelon of AEW. Kyle Fletcher is known as a tag team wrestler. The only, like, not the only reason, but the reason why he's in this position right now is his tag team partner's injured. And he's taking the fucking ball and running with it. He's the current Ring of Honor World Television Champion. And he's hanging with Brian Danielson, with Claudio Castagnoli, hell, with Takeshita. He does not look out of place whatsoever. And that is something to note because, again, you look back 6 months ago and you wouldn't have even possibly considered Kyle Fletcher being in this position. So a big props to Kyle Fletcher for stepping up and showing he belongs in that position.
And it's, again, like you said, sometimes it's unfortunate circumstances, again, with his partner being hurt. But
Absolutely. What
a great opportunity he has had to really present himself and show what he is capable
knocking
of.
Knocking it out of the park right now. He's somebody, I'll be straight up and honest, I didn't think was going to be as good of a singles guy as he is. But, man, he's fucking good. He's really good. But, yeah, really, the note of the finish is Brian Danielson getting his lapel lock, not just a normal lapel lock, but using the chain wrapping around the mouth of Kyle Fletcher and Fletcher tapping out. So,
but even before getting to that finish, the match is interrupted when it looks like it could be the end with double submissions by Powerhouse Hobbs.
That's true, yes.
Running in to take out the BBC, and then Mox's music hits and just keeps on hitting.
Let's scroll back. Did you just say BBC?
I probably did. I probably
did. Shout out Combat One and the Big Bot Cowboy.
take my thought from me. You just finish this.
Yeah, I got this. Yes, Hobbs coming out, and then you said Mox coming out, and Wild Thing just like nonstop playing. Mox taking out Hobbs, and actually, to be noted, Mox and Hobbs going to be going one-on-one on Dynamite, not even just a regular match. Don Callis getting a IWGP championship match for Will Hobbs in the very first time that the championship's going to be defended on Dynamite. So Moxley coming to even up the odds, taking Hobbs out of the picture and getting his boys to get the victory. So,
yep, no, just a very worthy moment, and as you said, leading up into that match taking place on Dynamite. But yeah, as you said, ending with the BCC getting the victory.
And a passionate Bryan Danielson promo afterwards, too, being like everybody's asking me, why the hell am I wrestling the night before I'm wrestling Ospreay? And Daniel Bryan says people have different perspectives on what heaven is.
Bryan Danielson.
What did I say?
Daniel Bryan.
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, man.
Sorry, you're calling me out for the BBC. I'm
calling I haven't done that in a minute. Bryan Danielson talking about how his heaven is going to be him standing in the ring bleeding in front of everybody tomorrow night. So, or I guess tonight. So, hell of a fucking match, man. Like, super fun bunkhouse brawl. And again, Brian just is on another level right now. And enjoy it. Enjoy it while we've got it, man. Because this is a run that we're going to forever talk about. Between Daniel Bryan and Bryan Danielson, we're going to remember this man forever when it comes to professional wrestling. So enjoy what we're seeing right now, because there's going to be nothing like it ever again.
100%.
Yeah, that is our number one for this week. And with that said, we'll take it away with the rest of the show before we dive into a quick rundown of the Dynasty card that is going to be a friggin' hell of a show tonight,
as well as a quick rundown of Rampage, which took place immediately following Collision.
Yes. So rest of the show, we had Powerhouse Hobbs taking on a local and CJ Esparza. Man, I seen CJ Esparza and I literally popped, because I used to ride with Josh Alexander and Ethan Page out to AEW in Chicago, and he was a guy I'd see on a regular basis. Zero Gravity, tag team guy, and good to see him getting an opportunity. And it wasn't anything crazy. Hobbs killed him, but it's always cool to see guys that you've known, and guys that you know have grinded to get those opportunities, So big shout out to CJ Esparza, and Hobbs making quick work of Esparza. We see the Ospreay package, obviously talking about the match that's going to be going down with Bryan Danielson tonight at Dynasty. Chris Jericho addressing Hook. I'm not even gonna get into this, because again, broken records when it comes to the whole Jericho Hook stuff. Over it. This is the match that should be on the frickin' pre-show, not the title for title match, Bull Club Gold and Acclaimed.
Anyways, so true.
Speaking of them two teams going at it, as we had the Acclaimed of Max Caster and Anthony Bowens taking on the Guns, the members of Bold Club Gold, Austin and Colton. Bold Club Gold picking up the victory, as well as Jay White helping solidify the pin using his bat for leverage, as I believe it was Austin held onto the bat as the referee counted the three. So
also notable that the Guns were trying to just essentially bail and be like, we don't need to do this, we'll do this tomorrow. Yep. And Shivani taking the mic and saying, no, if you don't wrestle tonight, then you don't get your match tomorrow.
And not only that, but Max Caster back to doing some raps as well. So,
yep.
Back in his full form.
Yep. Yep. Talking about legalizing weed, not incest, and a comment to OJ Simpson dying and no one really caring. So,
Yep, yep. Danielson also cutting a solid promo in the back prior to his Bunkhouse Brawl match. We had Willow, Nightingale, Stokely Hathaway, and Chris Statlander talking about Willow's match tomorrow with Julia Hart, and to the point where Willow getting so intense that she dropped a bitch.
Well, even before that, she is saying F you, which to her means she is fired up.
And Stokely saying, no, I did completely different.
That means something else to me, but I'm going to still stand by that F you, essentially. Just getting a whole different side of Willow as she's really starting to get a little bit more edgy.
And Willow and Stat just hitting poses as this the promo ends, popped me hard. And then last, certainly not least, the only thing we haven't covered from the show yet is Sky Blue taking on Layla Hirsch in a quick little fun match as Sky Blue is victorious.
Yeah, and that about wraps up Collision. Let's do a quick rundown of Rampage before we get into Dynamite.
It's 420.
Not Dynamite.
Yeah, not Dynamite.
Dynasty.
There you go. Wrong D. Man, that could be interpreted.
I was going to say, you could have said that in so many other ways.
Yeah, I really could have. 420. We can't do 420 without the one and only Rob Van Dam and a high-flying fatal four-way elimination match, I believe it was. Maybe it was elimination. Maybe it wasn't.
I can't recall.
I'm questioning myself now. Regardless, it was a fatal four-way. And regardless, Rob Van Dam was victorious over Commander with the five-star frog splash.
Worth noting the video of us rewatching that match lined up to be exactly 4 minutes, 20 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shout out to the editors.
Yeah, the upload on YouTube from AEW's official YouTube channel. Yeah, 4 minutes, 20 seconds.
Very well done.
Yeah, salute to that. Yuka Sakazaki taking on Emi Sakura. Yuka was victorious. We had a really cool segment, and an obvious congratulations that needs to go out too, because we had Angel Parker make his way to the ring talking about how really has nothing to fight for anymore. He lost his match against Zack Knight on Rampage last week. He lost the love of his life because of his actions, and he's really feels like he's done. And he starts to say the R word, almost gets into the retirement, and the music Ruby Soho hits, and she comes out to the ring and makes it a point to be like, you say you got nothing to fight for, but I've got something for you to fight for. And saying, you know, this just started. I understand we're, just getting
going. We're still
going
pretty early.
And, I know I disappeared for a bit, but I just didn't know how to tell you I'm pregnant.
And a huge congratulations to the both of them.
Yeah. If you know me, you know Ruby's one of my girls. Heidi Lovelace was literally one of my favorite people in the independent scene. And we had a solid, relationship, too. We're chatting all the time. Anytime she come in for A1, she was super fucking dope with me. So to see her incredibly happy and to see her fucking creating a family, how fucking cool is that? I got genuinely emotional watching that segment. And it's really cool, again, just to see her happy. So
yeah.
Big shout out to Angela and Ruby. Two great people. Two really great people. But moving on to our main event of Rampage, it was the Undisputed Kingdom, the team of the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, Mike Bennett and Matt Taven, along with the AEW International Champion, Roderick Strong, taking on Kyle O'Reilly, Rocky Romero, and Daddy Magic. And actually, it was Kyle O'Reilly tapping out Mike Bennett with an armbar for the victory for the O'Reilly, Magic, and Rocky team. So O'Reilly having a little bit of momentum going into his international championship match with Roderick Strong coming up tonight at Dynasty, and a hell of a way for O'Reilly, again, to continue that momentum, potentially picking up his first championship in AEW tonight.
And that wraps up the Rampage rundown. Now, let's get into just a quick little preview of the card for Dynasty, the pay-per-view taking place this evening. Quick plug, I'm sure you were going to give us anyways, but we will be hosting a Dynasty
you took it right from me. Go
post
for it.
Show.
Yep.
To run down some of those results. So if anybody's listening now before Dynasty airs tonight, please pop onto the YouTube channel and chat about what you thought of the pay-per-view with us.
Absolutely. We'll be taking live thoughts. If you want to throw your comments, we'll always encourage that as well. So come join us on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/SME Radio. We'll be going live immediately following the pay-per-view. So, again, come join us and give us your thoughts because, again, on paper, this pay-per-view is legitimately an all-timer. We'll kick it off with the Zero Hour card kicking off at 6:30 tonight, Eastern time. As we have, first off, Orange Cassidy and Shibata taking on Shane Taylor Promotions of Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty. We've very much been impressed with STP lately and what they've been bringing to the table. OC and Shibata are freaking awesome too, so this has potential to be a super fun match on the pre-show. We had Trent Beretta taking on Matt Sydal. We had the recent turn of Trent from the Best Friends turning on Orange Cassidy and showing a little bit more of an aggressive side, a dark side of Trent. So him and Sydal taking on each other. And then finally, the last match on the pre-show, titles for titles, it will be the World Trios Championship All Elite Wrestling. The Acclaim taking on the six-man tag team championship. Six-man tag team champions of Ring of Honor. Club Gold. I got it. We're good.
That is a mouthful.
That is a lot. But yeah, title for title, winners walk out with both championships as we move into the main card. And what a card we've got on tap tonight. Samoa Joe defends the AEW World Championship against Swerve Strickland. A lot of people thought the last pay-per-view that we were going to see Swerve walk out with the championship. Unfortunately not. Hangman was the one taking the pin in that match. Taking the fall, I should say. And now Swerve getting his one-on-one opportunity to take the championship and create history tonight as the first African-American AEW World Champion.
Yeah, absolutely. Huge moment that we've been waiting for so long. Can't wait. We then get into Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson. Again, just contender to be possible match of the year. Anytime Will Ospreay is in the ring, you're going to see magic. And I can very much say the same thing for anytime you see Bryan Danielson in the ring, you're going to see magic. So the two of them together is...
It's a dream match. It's first dream time match. Ever. It's a match you're going to have to witness to truly believe it because it's going to be that fucking good. I guarantee it. Speaking of that fucking good, the Young Bucks taking on FTR for the vacated World Tag Team Championships in a ladder match. A lot of speculation on this match right now and the potential return of one Jack Perry. Very clear that the Bucks have been supporting Jack between social media, between Fuck Matt wearing a scapegoat shirt during the airing of the Punk Perry footage on Dynamite. I think it's very clear that Jack is joining the Elite. I think it's very clear that the Bucks are probably going to win this match with the help of Jack Perry tonight. So that's the big asterisk when it comes to this match. Will it be a good match regardless? Abso-fucking-lutely. But that big asterisk is, do we see the return of Jack Perry tonight?
And we then get to see the AEW Women's World Championship match taking place between Timeless Toni Storm and Thunder Rosa.
Lightning Daffodil.
I almost said Lightning Daffodil. But again, we talked about this earlier. So much history in this match. So much passion behind both wrestlers. This is going to be, again, quite possibly a show stealer.
I don't think there's any question of that. We have the AEW Continental Championship on the line as Okada defends the championship against Pac. Two of the most intense and hard-hitting individuals in the company going at it. And the thing is, too, I kind of process with Copeland in the trios match. There isn't another men's, I guess the international championship, but like the Continental International and TNT championships seem to kind of all be on the same echelon. I do wonder now that Okada's champion, if the echelon of the Continental Championship is going to raise a bit, the prestige of that championship is going to raise a bit. So I genuinely think this is going to be, I don't even know, man. Like, I want to say match of the night. I want to say sleeper. Like, every match on this show has a potential to be match of the night, and that's how good this card is tonight.
Yeah, genuinely incredible potential this show has, as we then get into the TBS championship match taking place between Julia Hart and Willow Nightingale. Again, we talked about this promo between the two. Excited to see this fired up version of Willow Nightingale. And again, Julia Hart's just incredibly talented and I can't even put into words. I'm very excited for this match.
A lot of speculation on this match as well. So obviously Mercedes Moné has been very involved with this whole back and forth between these two. There was the attack on Willow that people are still questioning, and the potential of Statlander and Stokely turning on Willow. So there's a lot riding on this match tonight on where this goes going forward in terms of what Willow's position is with Stat and Stoke. I mean, even with Mercedes getting involved. So Julia has been champion for a while. Is this the end of her reign tonight? It quite possibly could be, but I'm going to be honest, I don't see it happening. Moving on to the international championship on the line as Kyle O'Reilly gets his first championship opportunity since returning against his former friend in Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong in the Undisputed Kingdom kept telling Kyle that they're fine with him doing it by himself, but Kyle getting a little bit of an eye for that international championship, and even to make it a point to be like, yeah, I wouldn't have straight up asked for a shot before, but now that you bring it up, yeah. And I think that triggered the jealousy and the emotional change in Roderick Strong and how he felt about Kyle O'Reilly, because they turned on O'Reilly, and now we've got this match going down for the championship. Two guys that have a tremendous amount of history with each other, from the independents to where we are in national television for a championship. So very, very cool to see these two going at it on a pay-per-view card one-on-one.
And we get into, I know we said there was really no particularly bad matches on this card. I'm not going to say this is going to be a bad match. I just simply don't care. As we get the FTW championship match between Chris Jericho and Hook.
I'm going to pull the Michael Cole and the pain.
I was going to say, I hope this is the end of whatever is happening between the two of them.
A lot of speculation that Taz is going to help Hook tonight retain the championship and officially join Hook as his manager.
I like that. I like that because that's, I think, one of the biggest criticisms I've had of Hook is that he doesn't really have much character. There isn't very much to him.
He needs somebody to speak for him.
He doesn't have the personality.
Yes.
And in saying that,
he whoops ass, but
he's good. He's good, but he definitely does need somebody to give him some personality. And who better than his own father, who is a huge personality and well-known commentator on the AEW product already.
Yeah. And a former leader of a faction, Team Taz, looking back to Hobbs, Starks, Hook being together back in
very true
a couple of years ago. So there is history there. So I'm very intrigued to see if that does go down. Just again, please just end this fucking feud. And last and certainly not least, the final match that's on the main card, Adam Copeland, the TNT champion, teaming up with the New Japan Strong Openweight Champion Eddie Kingston and the Ring of Honor World Champion Mark Briscoe to take on the House of Black, Brody King, Buddy Matthews, and Malakai Black.
And once again, we discussed this literally right at the beginning of the show. Incredibly intrigued to see what story develops from here, as yep. The match itself, no doubt, will be fantastic. But there was just a few little... There's some interesting tension happening between the House of Black and Adam Copeland specifically. And I'm very intrigued to see if we do see the return of Christian Cage, if we do see a turning point for Adam Copeland to maybe get into that darker side. We don't know, but I think there's a lot of potential for that to be a head turner in more ways than we would anticipate.
Again, going back to the bit of speculation on where this match goes and where this, I guess, feud goes between Malakai and Copeland, because that's been the big tease throughout this whole thing. The first lights out, lights on was Copeland and Malakai staring off as the potential of Malakai potentially taking that championship in the future.
A lot of potential, both from this match and honestly, again, from this
entire... A lot of me using the word potential there.
I know, I apologize. But there's just so much that can come out of tonight that I think...
It sets the roadmap to one of the biggest pay-per-views in AEW history, if not, honestly, the biggest pay-per-view in AEW history in Double or Nothing coming up next month, so...
No, there is so much to see tonight. I would say this is turning into what should be a not-miss pay-per-view.
You know, you get the next couple of months, I just processed. You got Double or Nothing in May. You got Forbidden Door coming up as well. So
I forgot about Forbidden Door. I was already fast-forwarding in my brain to All In.
Yeah, so here we are. We got a lot on the horizon for AEW. It's a fun time to be an AEW fan. I know people have been on their tribalism in terms of what company to support and what not. And honestly, man, if it's good professional wrestling, support it.
I think that's it. Is at the end of the day,
we have our gripes with the product.
We're going to have our gripes with the product. We're going to have our gripes with
any product.
And it's not even necessarily always the product. Sometimes it is that behind the scenes. And at the end of the day, as a wrestling fan, we're there for the wrestling.
Yep.
And a show like tonight is a good time to just appreciate good wrestling. And that really should be, as a wrestling fan, what you're there for.
That's it. With that said, as Aaron already mentioned, tonight we will be live immediately following the pay-per-view talking all things AEW Dynasty with the post show on SME Radio's YouTube channel, SME Radio on YouTube, youtube.com/SME Radio. SMEradio.com for everything SME related, whether it's the law, whether it's the main show, whether it's any of the other podcasts that support pro wrestling, MMA, pop culture, music, you name it, it is covered on this very network. So go show some love to every single show on this network like you do this very show. I am at the Grant First Days of Four and all forms of social media. Got a busy weekend next weekend. I will be in New York for IWF on the 27th, in Simcoe for Norfolk's debut show on the 28th. Yeah, super excited for the future when it comes to professional wrestling. If you want to see me on your show, hit me up on social media, and yeah, just keep up with my socials and you'll keep up with my travels.
And you can find me on all social media at Aaron154Grant. See what I am getting up to, be it in the world of professional wrestling or just elsewhere. I did get an opportunity this weekend to ring announce both the Friday Night Uproar Crossbody Pro Wrestling taping as well as their premium live event last night of When the Smoke Clears. That will be up on YouTube on May 15th. So, no, it won't. May 5th. I'm mixing up my dates.
I was going to say, not only was I impressed that you remembered the show name, but you remembered the premiere date. I was just like, man, like,
I had to kill some time last night, and I read that card a few times.
Fair.
And, their next premium live event is June 15th, which is where the 15 came from. But last night's premium live event will be live on May 5th.
There you go. Watch me take a nasty German through a fucking door.
Spoiler alert. Jeez.
Spoiler alert.
But anyways, this has been Collision Catch-Up on Sunday night's main event. Thank you so much for listening.
We'll catch you later on.